Hello world, my name is Don, and you are watching Showcase for the week ending Sunday, November 20th, 2022. Stop the presses, this is our Sunday show, and that means weird headlines and your live chat comments. Thanks so much for joining me tonight. We have a bit of a small program note. My associate Kaiko, who would normally be with us tonight, is under the weather, so I have to fly solo, but good to see you at home as well. And I know Kaiko is going to be with us in the comments feed momentarily. We may see him pop up. Momentarily. And we, of course, wish him the best and a speedy recovery. Hopefully, we'll be seeing him again real soon. And you are tuned in right now to Weird News. Oh, before we start, I almost forgot. I have two brief announcements. First, we have something serious. News broke out this weekend about the tragic passing of another legend, especially to us millennials. And his name was Jason David Frank, known to millions around the world as Tommy Oliver, the green, then white, then red, then black Power Ranger. Also active in the martial arts community, Frank had four different black belts, among other high ranks in different styles of martial arts, ranging from Shotokan karate to Taekwondo to Judo. And he created the Tosokundo style of karate and was inducted into the World Karate Union Hall of Fame in 2003. Here's the Associated Press. Justine Hunt, Frank's manager, said in a statement earlier today that Frank passed away. She did not name the cause of death or say when he died, but asked for, quote, privacy of his family and friends during this horrible time as we come to terms with the loss of such a wonderful human being. As of 4:30 today, cause of death has not been publicly confirmed. Jason David Frank is survived by his four children. He was 49 years old. Rest in peace. All right, so the second announcement, November 24, and by the way, I forgot to mention, make sure that you're subscribed already. We have subscribers only mode on in the live chat. So if you want to make a comment, make sure you're subscribed to the channel. And then after 5 minutes, the live chat will open up and you can send your comments in. But one other thing I want to mention here, November 24, 2015, Thanksgiving Day, was the upload date of the very first full episode of Weekend Showcase. Now, this week marks 7 years since then, and it's time for some changes to be made. So I'm making a public statement here that this episode right here is effectively going to serve as our de facto season finale. You know, I've always envisioned Weekend Showcase as a team-oriented project, but among other things brought to my attention recently, this brand has been a little too cloudy in its focus and execution, with not enough emphasis on individual creators and personalities, such that collaborating genuinely feels like more of a major event than it is, or at least has been. So as it happens, this is our final Weird News stream for the year anyway. I like shutting things down around this time every year to help ensure we can all relax and enjoy the holidays, including my staff, but we do have plans for 2023. And we do have plans for content until then. We'll still be doing live game streams right here on YouTube and our other main pages. We'll still be doing podcast reactions through the holidays, but we're going to be taking a brief sabbatical from research-intensive content. So make sure you subscribe to this channel and follow us on social media to stay on top of all our other further announcements. And speaking of social media, don't forget to hit those like, subscribe, or follow buttons, as the case may be. And as always, if you're with us live, drop us a line in the live chat, and we just might read it off on the air. So, with that being said, once again, thank you all so much for tuning in with us. Let's go ahead and get started with the first announcement. The first news topic here, which comes to us from the Daily Star. Model who married herself slams dating apps for creating superficial relationships. Gee, you don't say. The subheader says, the Brazilian bombshell made headlines after marrying herself, an act known as sologamy? Sologamy? Not really sure if that's the right pronunciation, but only she divorced herself 90 days later after meeting someone special. I shouldn't laugh. Or chuckle, really. That was more of a chuckle than a laugh, really. But anyway, it reads a little bit like an Onion headline, if I'm being truly honest. Control, where are we at with our comments? I know we have some people saying stuff in the feed about this free copy. Oh, that was you. Sorry. We have a special guest visitor in the comments feed. I mentioned a little bit earlier. Kaiko ordinarily would be joining us in person, but he's under the weather right now. Good to see him in the comments feed. Hey, Kaiko, what's up? Ms. D, good to see you again. What? Yep, yep, I know. It's crazy. Yeah, Kaiko says, no, throw this away. I mean, yeah, apparently this is a thing that happened. Lovely dress, though. Let's see. A model who made headlines after marrying herself has hit out at dating apps for causing toxic and superficial relationships. Chris Galera tied the knot with herself in front of a church in her native Brazil as onlookers wondered where her spouse was. The 34-year-old then made headlines again after announcing she was divorcing herself after just 90 days of marriage. And at the time, Chris said she was terminating her marriage because she met someone special. Well, congratulations to the happy couple, I suppose, is one, one sort of resolution slash statement, I guess, to be made. Whoops, here we go. About this particular topic. I can't imagine, though, being so fed. Actually, you know what? I take that back. I can imagine being fed up with dating apps, if I'm brutally honest. I mean, we all kind of know the extent of the personalities that one might find on those sorts of platforms. But I can't imagine being so fed up so as to basically solve the problem yourself to this degree. I've heard of, there's a term that I'm not sure if we're going to get pinged by YouTube because it sounds very similar to something that I shouldn't say on YouTube, but there's actually a term for when you're dating yourself. It ends in with the suffix dating. I don't want to say anything more on that, but it's a happy ending here, basically, with sologamy, I guess. Former sologamy, I guess, since she actually has a significant other now. So more power to her. Congratulations. Let's move on. And once again, all our sources are linked in the, or not linked, excuse me, listed. We don't have links now. They're listed in the description down below. So if you want to read more about anything along those lines, feel free to do so after this episode ends. Please and thank you. So next item is from Lad Bible. Single people and those doing long distance can now get an emotional support bear for $160. This was published a good few days ago. And yeah, this is a pretty self-explanatory. I'm a little bit off-put by this image here. Hang on, let me try and maximize this. Can I open a new tab? Yes, there we are. Okay, so this is an emotional support bear that people can get for, the headline said, long distance relationships, and it's worth $160. And you know what? I'll tell you what this reminds me of. There's this Family Guy episode that I don't remember what it was, but one of the cutaways involved Stewie and his bear Rupert running along the beach, and Rupert had, like, I don't know, some sort of like 90s Fabio kind of body, and then the little teddy bear head on top of the fully developed male body. And it's like, that's exactly what this reminds me of, especially this picture on the right. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the shirt. Maybe it's the shirt. It doesn't quite equate the same way to me on the, with the one on the left than it does on the right. I don't know. I can't place why, basically, because I think of the cutaway, he didn't wear a shirt either. But anyway, this is bizarre to me. This is really, really bizarre. Let's see. It's called the Loving Bear Puffy. It's the man-sized emotional support bear that is here for all of your cuddling needs. All right. So if you're doing it long distance, you're single, or if you just need to be a little spoon every once in a while, then this bear is for you. Let's see. The massive man bear is the brainchild of Bulgarian company Puffy Bear, with the product being described as, quote, a very personal product invented by an ordinary woman who is afraid of being alone. And then the story goes on to say, hey, at least they are brutally honest. The bear stands at 170 centimeters in height and replaces the need for physical presence. The massive teddy can also be easily positioned, thanks to it weighing a mere 3.2 kilograms. Okay, so this is, I hear where they're coming from. I don't know if, like, maybe a better option. No, I don't want to say that. I'm sorry. I was going to go back into a reference to the sologamy comment from earlier, but honestly, if this is your best possible option in terms of, I guess, tactile comfort, I guess, then this, and if you can afford it, then I guess more power to you. But wow, this is, it's amazing that this actually exists and there's enough of a market for it to justify this product actually being introduced into the marketplace like this. But apparently this is a thing. So if you're on the market for something like this, especially if you're in a long distance relationship of some kind, like the story suggests here, you can look it up. Kaiko in the comments feed says, what in the Fisher Price is going on here? Yeah, exactly. This is from Puffy Bear, and it's worth $160 American. So that's apparently what that is. So there you go. Let's move on. Let's try and move on to the next topic here. Oh, Kaiko says, if you don't get a bear from the dollar store and keep it moving. Ms. D says, I guess girls got to get emotional support however they can get it. Human huggers in short supply. I mean, it stands to reason if you're going to go ahead and resort to something like this. But anyway, we got to move on. We've spent too much time on this topic as it is. But thanks so much for the comments, Ms. D, and obviously Kaiko, who can be with us in person. But mad props and respect for showing up in the comments feed anyway. And we hope he gets well soon. Let's move on to our third item, which comes to us from the good people at ndtv.com. Popular Japanese beef croquettes. Hang on, let me go ahead and get out of this thing here. Popular Japanese beef croquettes has a 30-year wait list. You know, I've never tried anything like this before. I've heard of this food item before many years ago. I don't know what it's ultimately like intending to be at the end of the day. Like, I've only barely heard of it in passing. I don't know what it's supposed to taste like, but Kobe beef croquettes, apparently meaty in taste, obviously, turned out to be the best-selling items of this shop after they were added to the menu post-World War II. Interesting. So, okay, 30 minutes, let me see here. Okay, customers will have to wait for 3 decades to receive frozen Kobe beef croquettes if they order from Asahaya, a family-run butcher shop located in Takasago City in western Japan's Hyogo Prefecture, as reported by CNN. The shop has been selling products since 1926. Kobe beef croquettes turned out to be the best-selling items of this shop after they were added to the menu post-World War II. However, it wasn't until the early 2000s that these deep-fried potato and beef dumplings went viral online, causing the absurdly long lines that customers now endure. I hope they have a photo of these lines. I don't see one here. Darn it. See, when you talk about long lines to eat food, and you sort of bring that up as a big sort of factor in whether or not to actually go get some, I mean, the vantage point or the gold standard that I go to as far as long lines for food is, what is it called? Pink's Hot Dogs in LA. Very famous spot. I don't know if it's still open offhand. I'm trying to remember offhand. I hope it is. I don't even know. Let me see. Oh yeah, the World Cup started today. Pink's Hot Dogs. Here we are. Bam. It looks like they're still open. Awesome. Yeah, there it is. Pink's Hot Dogs. There we are. And apparently they are still active. Cool. Awesome. All right, let's move on. Because we did as quickly as possible, because we did not get any money from them. I was just looking that up out of morbid curiosity. Brain Spaz says, 30-year wait list. Man, you could die or be senile before your 30 was up. Wow. That's one way to put it, Brain Spaz. Apologies. Anybody in the audience who happens to be hearing barking in the background, I am a proud dog owner. And apparently we do have some stuff happening right now in the background. Hopefully that can be dealt with. I don't know if control can get a handle on that. Pretty please and thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, let's go ahead and move on here to the next item. And once again, thank you guys so much for tuning in to Weird News Headlines right here on Weekend Showcase. And we have subscribers only mode enabled in the live chat. So if you're watching along, make sure you're liked and following our content and subscribed to this channel for at least 5 minutes, so the live chat will be able to open up for you. We're really trying to keep the bot traffic down. Please and thank you. Let's move on to the next item, which also comes to us from NDTV. Shashi Tharoor, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Apologies if I am. Shashi Tharoor shares 1919 cartoon, leaves internet amazed. The cartoon is titled The Pocket Telephone. When will it ring? It depicts different instances in a person's life when a mobile phone would ring. So this is actually suggesting the origins of the idea of a cellular phone, or a phone, I guess, in general, predates Star Trek. Because it's commonly thought of that Star Trek and you know, most bits of science fiction, they tend to introduce either elements of what then become cultural norms or technology, even in the context of fiction, years, sometimes even decades before it gets introduced to us in the real world with varying degrees of accuracy. The second Back to the Future movie is probably the most the second most famous example of this, given how much they wound up getting, quite frankly, how much they wound up getting wrong as far as predicting what the world would be like in the year 2015. We still don't have flying cars. Hoverboards in the real world use wheels for some strange reason. I never did wrap my mind around that. That's really always kind of, you know, ticked me off, but whatever. And the idea of cell phones has been commonly associated with Star Trek, you know, like either these little like badges that they used to use, or the little tricorders things, basically. I'm sorry, there's probably some Trekkies in the comments feed who are gonna like take me to task for getting this reference incorrectly, but because I don't think that's what they're called, but the little hand devices, they would use those as communicators to get information to and from the Enterprise on that show when they're on the away team. And it's like, that was in the 60s. That was 1966 when that started. This is from early 20th century here. Let's see. The cartoon has been titled The Pocket Telephone. Da, 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 da. Hang on a second. Where is the screen grab? Do we have a screen grab of this? Please and thank you. Okay, I guess we got to go ahead and open up a new tab for this. Let's take a closer look, because I really want to take a look at this. I'm genuinely curious about this here. Here's the pocket telephone. This is, wow, this is literally over 100 years ago, a little comic strip.
Wow!
Predicting, thank you, control room. This little comic strip was accurately predicting cell phones and like having it on your person when running for a train, when your hands are full. Like you can see it, it's like in your pocket, or like you can make the argument that it's clipped to a belt of some kind, you know? I mean, this is literally 100 years ago. Let's hope it's not when the baby is being held. but that's interesting. The context at the bottom of the screen here, I'll try to read this off for the podcast audience. The latest modern horror in the way of inventions is supposed to be the pocket telephone. We can imagine the moments this instrument will choose for action. And then it is credited to W.K. Heselden? H. Heselden? It's hard to make out this name here. It's really hard to read here. H-A-S-E-L-D-E-N? I think is what that is. Again, apologies if I'm like citing that incorrectly. I'm really trying to get this right. But this is amazing. This moment in I guess, comics history, for lack of a better way to put it, world comics history, that got immortalized on the internet to this degree this week. Let's see. This is... Here we are. Since being shared, the post has amassed 728 likes and 128 retweets. Many internet users were left baffled looking at the cartoonist's foresight. Yeah, I mean, it only stands to reason that if you're dealing with somebody who's as much of an innately creative individual as somebody who draws for a living, you know, or does any form of real, like, creative artistic expression for a living, or even in the pastime, it stands to reason that in the course of being creative, they might come up with something that is eerily prescient and like eerily sort of foreshadowing. You know, they don't all have to be writers for The Simpsons necessarily, but it's like this is actually a serious contender for, let me go ahead and make sure that I have that actually still an open tab for that, because I really think this comic that we just took a look at here is a serious contender for favorite topic of the week from me, quite honestly. But that's just me personally. What do you think about this or any of our other topics that we've been talking about tonight? All our sources are listed in the description on YouTube or Facebook. And make sure that you subscribe so that you can drop us a comment in the live chat, and we just might read off your reactions live on air. Let's go ahead and move on to the next item. We're about coming up to the halfway point in the show here. Let's see. This next one comes to us from The Mirror. Man downed 12 energy drinks in 10 minutes and his pancreas ate itself? What? What? The 36... Wait. A gamer almost died after drowning 12 cans of energy drinks in 10 minutes to impress colleagues. What colleagues are you trying to impress with this? The 36-year-old's pancreas had begun digesting itself, in quotations, digesting itself, due to the high level of sugar, caffeine, and chemicals in the drinks. I would think so. A doctor who shares stories of patients he and his colleagues via a YouTube video told viewers about JS. I guess the patient is being referred to by the initials. JS is a lifelong gamer who had always struggled to make friends, according to the Daily Star. And according to Dr. Bernard Hsu, the clinical pharmacist behind the Chubby Emu channel, JS was at work and attempted a legendary dare of downing 12 energy drinks to impress his colleagues. This is a social media challenge. Oh my goodness. It's basically a social media challenge. This is right up there with like the Tide Pods mess that people were doing in, I want to say like 2016 roughly. Was it 2016, 2017 when this was happening? Control, can we please get can we please get her under control, please? And thank you. Thank you very much. Kaiko says, "Well, you know I like energy drinks." Yeah, I mean, there's an argument for the usefulness of energy drinks, you know, in general, just in general terms. But it's like everything is in moderation. Like, well, not everything. Things that are good to do or consume are generally at least okay in moderation, at least to me, I would think, at least to me personally. Obviously, like, just like we say in the description, like, do not take anything we say or show on this channel as medical advice. Consult your professionals. There's fake news everywhere. These are disclaimers we have to give on YouTube. But it blows me away that we as a culture are still doing social media challenges to this degree. You know, I'm flabbergasted by this, quite frankly, which is the only sort of, wow, you know what? This image speaks volumes. If a picture says 1,000 words, this picture speaks about $1,000 in, like, I don't know, medical copay. I don't know, like, I at bare minimum, I have no idea what will be involved in, you know, treating the pancreas ate itself. I can't really wrap my mind around this. What about those of you at home? If anybody has like any actual sort of medical training or a biological sort of training and understanding, drop a live chat in the comment and we can try to get some perspective on this from a slightly more educated vantage point than my own. I do not have medical training. Ms. D says, "What? Why would you ever?" I mean, we just showed that, yeah, it was basically a dare. And this is just what he chose to do with it. The patient, JS, started experiencing heart flutters, but wrote these off as caffeine-induced, but he developed back pain, so he had a shot of alcohol. He then threw up in the kitchen sink and began feeling even worse. Yeah, I'm not going to go too much further into this, just on the chance that people are actually eating dinner right now. It's 6:30 on the East Coast, and my colleague Kaiko, who's joining us in the comments feed right now, is already under the weather as it is. So let's not throw napalm on a pre-existing fire here. But if you're actually curious to read more about this phenomenon, the sources are listed in the description on YouTube and Facebook. So let's move on to the next item that we have on the docket tonight, which comes to us from the Mirror. A time traveler from the year 2671 claims very big things, in quotes, very big things, will happen on 4 dates in December. This looks awfully similar to the 2012 end day, like end of days, apocalypse, whatever, prophecies that did not come to pass, which were also like very similar to, but completely different from the 2000, the Y2K hoaxes, you know, that we were all sort of fixated about the world would end on Y2K and it didn't. We all thought it would end in 2012. It didn't. I mean, there have been false claims about that sort of thing for centuries. You know, I don't know about this. A time traveler who claims to be from this was published 2 days ago. A time traveler who claims to be from the year 2671. Da, da, da. Okay. Eno Alrick has named 4 dates in December. The TikToker, known as the Radiant Time Traveler, has posted a series of bizarre videos forecasting the future. Leave it to TikTok. Earlier this year, he also said he could transport 8 people with him to his time within 6 months. Now, that would make sense if the time in the future that he was going to take them to was, say, for example, June of 2023, but that trip, they would have to take the long way to get there, you know? So, I don't know. Free coffee, Kaiko, excuse me, says, "No, tell this man to have a seat." Yeah, I mean, this is, God, you know, TikTok. What can really be said about TikTok and what things people tend to do and say and post on these different social media things, you know, just to basically get attention. I seem to remember we actually covered something sort of similar, like, I think it was tail end of last year or maybe like earlier this year. We actually talked about a story that was interestingly similar to this. There was a time traveler who was posting stuff on, I don't remember if it was TikTok or Instagram. It might have been another TikTok, but had similar sort of like crazy predictions about the future. I don't think it went so far as to say the end of the world or anything apocalyptic like that. But let's see. I can't see where these four dates are. Let's see. Okay, December 20, Christmas Day. I don't know. No. Let's see. Oh, interesting. So this thing says, the little little text underneath this photograph of Elon that I just scrolled past says, Time Traveler 3000 claims he predicted Elon Musk would take over Twitter. Hmm. Okay. Well, and this was done apparently in a video shared with their 12,000 followers on TikTok. So, you know, I highly doubt that. I mean, I highly doubt that. See, this depends on when this prediction was made, and especially in relation to when we started finding out through, obviously, you know, public news reports that the purchase of TikTok, or sorry, the purchase of Twitter by Elon Musk was already in the process of happening and being negotiated, and, you know, the SEC filings and all that sort of stuff. That had to be done. It was very messy. We all know. I don't need to sort of recount that news, but it was crazy. It was crazy to read about that just at the time that it was happening. And now you're trying to tell the whole world that you know what's going to happen later because you predicted what Elon is doing to Twitter. Hey, here's a prediction idea. Can you tell us what he's going to do next? Because some of us are really kind of have been paying attention to some of the happenings and developments on Twitter in recent days, weeks, months, which is all I can say about that because I don't want to get political. I don't know what's happening with Twitter, and that is making me very anxious. Just the idea of, like, okay, there's a larger plan that we're sort of seeing play out here. What on earth is going on? The idea of this is making me anxious. Here's something interesting right here. Film footage from 1937 supposedly proves time travel exists after a woman was spotted with a mobile phone-like device. Where? Are we kidding me right now? Hang on. I can't see. Oh, here we are in the center. Look at that. Okay, so we don't see what is in this person's hand. That feels like a vast oversimplification. It could very easily be like brushing hair away from her ear or something, or like, you know, flicking a bug away, you know, or something like that. This person is not necessarily talking into something that was held on, you know, in her hand, just, well, yeah, on camera, but like just out of the immediate clear field of vision of the camera. Like, it's being obscured, obviously. That's way too much. That's way too coincidental, and that just strikes me as like a leap of logic that's too much to take seriously. But anyway, let's go ahead and move on from this. Hopefully we'll be able to get through December in one piece. Let's try and be optimistic as we go forward to goodness. Well, the probably one of the worst topics that I could have chosen to go to next, among the topics that we had lined up for tonight. Master of the Segway, Don Shannon. Okay, sign of the apocalypse as hundreds of sheep walk in a circle for 10 whole days. Are we kidding now? Sheep walking in a circle is supposed to be a giveaway, tell-all sign of the end of days. Really? Sheep walking in a circle? Really? Really? A huge flock of sheep have reportedly been seen marching. This is reported by The Mirror 2 days ago. Sheep have been reportedly seen marching in a circle for 10 straight days. Let's see. The huge herd have allegedly been walking in a clockwise direction en masse and without guidance, creating a perfect circle in the middle where not a single sheep has stepped. The unusual video was filmed in the city of Baotou in Mongolia on November 4, and now some have claimed the odd occurrence could be of the occult or maybe even a sign of the end of the world. After the video was shared on Twitter, many viewers were left confused and began commenting as they tried to understand what was happening in the clip. So here's a screenshot. Wow. I mean, are we sure that there's nothing that they're just having to walk around? That, you know, we don't have a really large Harry Potter invisibility cloak draped over? No, I'm kidding. I know that's not the case. But that is interesting. What is this in the... What is this a little bit? Look at the center of the screen right here. You can see something in there. I don't know what that, if that's supposed to be a speck on the lens for some reason, or if there's like something else in the center of the, well, not in the center of the circle, but sort of just off the, for purposes of describing this, the off the western edge of the circle, that far left edge, there's something sort of like a little bit inside the circle. I can't really tell what that is, but the rest of this, yeah, there's a lot of sheep that are deliberately sort of just doing this weird circular movement pattern that slightly creeps me out, I gotta be honest. This looks like something that I would see in like a horror film, maybe like something by M. Night Shyamalan, maybe something, a horror or suspense film by like M. Night Shyamalan, or maybe this is a nice preview of the next movie by Jordan Peele. Ms. D says, more likely a sign of alien visitation. Speaking of Jordan Peele, I have not gotten around to seeing the movie Nope yet. It is on my list. I'm looking forward to it. I've heard amazing things about it. I wish I was able to make a joking reference to that movie here, given what Ms. D just posted in the live chat. Thank you for the comment, Ms. D. But, I mean, because that's a recent movie of his that happens to take place on a farm, so that would be perfect for this, but oh well. It is what it is. Or at least I believe it does, judging by the trailer, which we have reacted to months ago. It's earlier in our content library here on Weekend Showcase, right here on YouTube. So I don't know. I doubt this is the apocalypse. I'm just going to go ahead and bottom line this by saying I strongly doubt that this is a serious sign of anything serious with like global implications and stuff like that. But then again, I mean, climate has been doing a number to the entire world for a while now. So it stands to reason, you know, anything is possible in terms of how nature itself would react in different facets above and beyond weather patterns. You know, animals, you know, are very, very in tune with nature to a degree that humans just aren't naturally equipped to do. Obviously, like this is kind of proven science, but well, I don't want to call it science. Sorry. I don't want to get this misconstrued by the algorithm or whatever, but I just don't want to give this, everything in me doesn't want to give this credence as something to actually take seriously as a harbinger of something. So let's just go ahead and move on to the next topic. We have 5 topics left here. Oh, wow. Any arachnophobia people may need to turn away from your screen, but keep listening. Keep listening to this podcast, this show here. Let's see. Man finds horrifying huge nest of huntsman spiders lurking in his shed. Oh, I wish we had Kaiko here, like on camera, to be able to comment on this verbally. I hope we still have him with us in the live chat to be able to help react to this. A horde of long-legged venomous huntsman spiders were found in an unsuspecting nest box as conservationists lifted the lid on an arachnophobe's deepest and darkest fear. This was published on The Mirror 2 days ago. Let's see. In the image that I guess they have, yep. A large group of huntsman spiders invaded a nest box intended for possums, despite the fact that they usually reside in trees. The spiders, which are part of the Sparacidae family, can grow as big as 11.8 inches, or 30 centimeters, and are famously the world's scariest predators. The creepy crawlies were found by Bush Heritage Australia after conservationists lifted the lid on a possum's nest box. okay. This is, I hesitate to look further down there. Kaiko says, my kind of news. Yeah, I bet. We do need to be a little bit mindful of who might be watching, unfortunately. So I hesitate to go scroll any further here for exactly this sort of reason. Like, we have Ms. D in the comments feed right now. I can't handle spiders, especially big, ugly ones. I'm not a fan of spiders personally. So I definitely relate to that comment, Ms. D. You have fun with this piece of image, I guess, Kaiko, / free coffee. But man, I don't know about this topic. This is definitely not going to be my favorite topic of the week by a far and vast margin here. But those of you fans of spiders, how would you react to this? If you found a bunch of predator spiders lurking in your house, like basically what are you going to do? Animal control? You could try to take care of the problem yourself. How would you react to that? Drop us a comment and let us know what you think about this or any of our other topics tonight. But don't forget to like the video. Let's move on. We have four topics left and about 20 minutes before the top of the hour. Thanks so much once again to those of you at home watching along live here on YouTube. Let's move on to the Mirror. Stunning Italian town is, well, we were on the Mirror already, so this is another one from them. Stunning Italian town is offering people £25,000 if they move there and start a new life. The quaint provincial town of Persice? I'm going to guess is how that's pronounced. P-R-E-S-I-C-C-E. I'm thinking that's Persice. In southeast Italy, is throwing cash at anyone from anywhere if they're willing to become a new neighbor. Okay. So, according to CNN, anyone willing to set up a new life in the town is being offered the generous stipend as part of the council's ploy to bring fresh creative blood. Okay. Let's see. I guess this is the council of the town of Persice. Local councillor Alfredo Palisi said, quote, "There are many empty homes in the historical center built before 1991, which we would like to see alive again with new residents," end quote. He lamented how the historic village, which emerged in the Middle Ages and is full of wonderful architecture and art, is slowly emptying. That's very sad. The abandoned district is home to the beautiful natural surroundings of the Salento area, I guess, which is poised on the heel of Italy's boot. Interesting. Let's see. A 15-minute drive south would take new residents to Santa Maria di Luca, an area described by Virgil in his canonical tome, The Aeneid. I must have missed this particular episode of what Anthony Bourdain, you know, or who's the guy they brought in? Stanley Tucci. I was trying to think of his name. Stanley Tucci, the guy that CNN brought in to do these kinds of traveling the world shows on that network. But this looks very picturesque and empty, unfortunately. But I can imagine, like, this looks like a blank canvas, basically, you know, just waiting to be repopulated with, you know, new residents and tourists, you know, visitors, stuff like that. Kako in the comments feed, give me the money. I mean, you got to move there, though. That's the thing. Ms. D says, are they providing paying employment, too? Can't live on that amount of money for the rest of your life. Yeah, I mean, that's true. This isn't one of those things. This isn't one of those things to take lightly, especially depending on where you're moving from. You know, you got to go through the whole process of getting a passport, you know, make sure there's probably some areas of the world that you still have to make sure that you're, you know, you're fully in your shots are set up properly. I'm trying to describe, you know, the prerequisites for international travel that were imposed on us over the course of 2020, but I'm trying to avoid saying certain buzzwords on YouTube. but anyway, this is an interesting sort of idea in terms of a relocation idea, and in terms of obviously tourism, even though the ultimate point of this is to welcome new residents. And, you know, I remember seeing architecture like this in a few different movies. Just the imagery is sort of making them come back. I'm having a difficult time remembering which ones, if I'm being brutally honest. But those little mini cars here, what is that, a Citroen? That little vehicle down there in the lower right corner of this thing, I can't place it visually. Like, that usually either looks like something like that, or maybe an early version of the Mini Coopers, basically, from like the 80s maybe, or 70s. Not Mini Coopers. I'm sorry. There's another one. Shoot. There's another one I'm trying to remember. If those of you who are watching, if you're better with cars visually than I am, please feel free to drop a comment and correct my perspective. Because here again, I'm a computer guy. I'm a gamer. I'm not a car guy. I'm doing this show by myself, basically, because Kaiko fell ill tonight. You know, let me know. I'm happy to be proven wrong. I just want to make sure that we have as correct information as possible ready and presented for you guys at home, the loyal viewers and fans of Weekend Showcase. And we appreciate you liking this video and dropping the comments and subscribing, etc. Notification bell and those other things. So let's go ahead and move on to three more topics here. We have about 20 minutes left before the top of the hour. Let's move on to the next item of weird news tonight, which comes to us from the Associated Press. 1970s sandals worn by Steve Jobs auctioned for $218,000. Wow. Wow. That is almost enough for a pre-release iPhone. Let's see. The California house where Steve Jobs co-founded Apple is a historical site. I bet it is. And now the sandals he wore while pacing its floors have been sold for nearly $220,000, according to an auction house. Wow. Wow. The well-used brown suede Birkenstocks dating to the mid-1970s set a record for the highest price ever paid for a pair of sandals, according to Julian's Auctions. The sandals were expected to bring $60,000, but the final sale price with an accompanying NFT was $218,750. The buyer was not named. Hmm. Okay, so Kaiko says, no, throw these away. But this is history, though. Listen, if you don't want to buy them, you know, or if you don't, if you wouldn't, yeah, Brain Spaz says, for used sandals, I'm speechless. But they're not just any old used sandals. That's the thing. And I'm an Android person. Basically, like, I don't own, like, iPhones, basically. So it's like, I get it, you know? There's historical significance to something like this, you know? Especially if you're, like, in the diehard Apple crowd, who's been following Apple and, like, buying all of their stuff, basically, for many years and stuff like that, as a lot of people have the world over. You know, this is the sort of thing that, honestly, objectively, could go in some sort of a museum, but don't introduce it into some sort of a private personal collection as an individual. Are you kidding me? Like, I'm gonna swipe left on that whole entire idea. That's just off-putting to a degree that defies my ability to describe with words, and I'd like to think I know a lot of words. So this is probably my least favorite topic of the week, quite frankly. The whole thing about Steve Jobs' sandals from literally 50 years ago. Yeah, 50 years ago. Selling for anything resembling this much money. Like, are you kidding me? Kaiko says, it is museum worthy, but I wouldn't personally want this. Yeah, exactly. Plus one in the comments feed from Free Coffee, aka Kaiko, Mr. Young Kaiko, joining us in the comments feed. Let's go ahead and move on. We have two items left before the top of the hour. So, Houston woman has the world's largest feet. Okay. Oh, and this is a video from the Guinness World Records YouTube page, which we cannot show because we've had to learn the hard way. The Guinness World Records YouTube account, we can't show their stuff without getting a content ID thing, so we have to go without that. But a Texas woman who stands at 6'9" tall was awarded a Guinness World Record for having the world's largest feet. Guinness announced Tanya Herbert of Houston was bestowed the title of largest feet on a living person, female, after her right foot was measured at 13.03 inches long, and her left foot was measured at 12.79 inches long. Herbert wears a women's size 18 shoes, or a men's size 16 to 17, depending on the brand. Wow! She stands only 3 inches shorter than the tallest woman living, Rumeysa Gelgi of Turkey, who stands 7'7" tall. Yeah, eagle-eyed viewers may recall, we actually did a piece about her, the world's tallest woman, last week in our last Weird News show, which is still up on our YouTube channel right now. Women's size 18 or a men's size 16? This woman wears a men's size 16. I wear like a size 12. I can't imagine. That's crazy. That is weird news right there. Like, I wow. Man, I don't really think there's really anything else to sort of say about this, except for this one last quote here, or actually this last section. Herbert says she has to shop for shoes online since no stores carry products large enough for her feet. Quote, I would buy some of the largest shoes I could find online and manipulate those to extend them out a little longer and make them a little wider so that they would fit my feet, end quote. Wow. Hey, I guess do what you got to do as long as you're resourceful enough to make it work. I'm floored by this. And the companion piece that I mentioned from last week that was referenced here, the world's tallest woman. I mean, there's a lot of, this world is very diverse. We have a lot of different people from all different walks of life and all different sort of, you know, backgrounds. And, you know, as we grow up, you know, we sort of we sort of grow into ourselves in different ways. And I guess this is just one sort of facet of what that looks like. But wow, that's amazing. but there's your weird news from UPI. I don't think we have anything else from UPI tonight. Oh, yeah, we do. I'm sorry. We do have one more piece of news, weird news from UPI. This is actually our last topic for the night. I think we might wind up finishing on time, precisely on time, if not a little bit earlier. Let's see. This is also from UPI, first published 3 days ago. Owl rescued from front grill of pickup truck in Colorado. Oh, wow. Whoa. Okay. So my question is, how in the world, how did the owner find out, like, what, did you, like, start your engine and there's, like, it's hooting? Like, instead of actually revving the engine? I don't know. Or was the hooting hopefully happening before he turned the engine over, come to think of it, because that would be serious health risk and health and safety risk for the owl, come to think of it, because of all the moving parts happening under the hood, obviously, depending on how far into the grill that the owl wound up being. Let's see. Colorado Parks and Wildlife said the owl was likely swooping low to catch prey when it ended up embedded in the front grill of a pickup truck last Monday night in the Colorado Springs area. Travis Souter, a district wildlife manager, responded to the scene and was able to extract the owl from the truck. Souter said the owl's wing was not broken. That's good. And the avian is now receiving rehabilitation at the nonprofit Nature and Wildlife Discovery Center in Pueblo. Okay, well, that's definitely good to read that this story actually has a happy ending. I was actually low-key concerned about, like, is this poor thing injured or something? Goodness. Yeah, Miss D says, aw, poor little owl. Yeah. Speedy recovery is hoped for here for the owl, just as much as a speedy recovery is hoped for our dear friend and colleague, Mr. Kaiko, who's joining us in the comments feed as free coffee. Thanks so much for joining us, free coffee. Thanks to the rest of you as well, Ms. D with the comments, shout outs as well. Let's see. Free coffee says, Kaiko says, this same thing happened, but with a cat. Really? You've heard about that? Do you have some more weird news to break? That's crazy. Hang on a second. Let me try and look that up really quickly, because we have a little bit more than 10 minutes. Let me see if I can pull that up really quickly here. Come on. Up here. Okay. Let's see here. Grill of vehicle. Oh, wow. Let me try and find news articles here. It looks like there's already a bunch of stuff there. Let's exit out of that. Here we are. Oh, wow. This was just a couple months ago. Did we cover this? I'm trying to remember. You know what? We might have. Come to think of it, we might actually have covered this already. This was first published September 8, 2022. Yeah. Cat and car grill on the way to work. Wow. Deep cut. Oh, Kaiko says it was in an engine. Whoa. How in the world? Oh, Kaiko says he's talking about someone that he knows in real life. Okay. Wow. And the cat is okay? Does the story have a happy ending? Inquiring minds would like to know. Good grief. But anyway, let's see. Yeah. Aberdeen Horse Center, cat was taken care into the care of vets after the motorist made the shocking find. Yeah, that story does have a happy ending. That's, man, it's crazy how, you know, what animals wind up doing, you know, just in the name of survival, that winds up sort of making headlines, basically, you know, or whatever the rationale winds up being. I mentioned earlier with the sheep sort of circling that weird invisible object, whatever that was, that weird circle patch that we saw earlier, you know. Animals are far more in tune with nature than humans could ever hope to be on our best day. And, you know, it's in our best interest to, you know, be observant and cognizant of that as best as possible. But let's see. Kaiko says she kept the cat. Well, there you go. Presumably the cat is healthy and happy and safely taken care of then. Cool. Yeah, so I guess that's basically all that we can say about this particular topic here and all these topics between this topic here with the owl in the truck and what Kaika was mentioning just now in the live chat with the lady that he knows found a cat in an engine of a vehicle. Good grief. All these animals are taken care of and are getting proper care and attention. So that's good. All right. So that's basically going to wind up winding down our show as far as weird news for this particular episode. What was your favorite topic tonight? I'm trying to think. My favorite one probably was, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and pull this up one more time here. It was probably this thing right here. The thing from Twitter that was predicting cell phones, people having cell phones literally 100 years before now. Like 1919 was when this came out. And say what you will about Star Trek, you know, back in like 1966, but I said it before, I'll say it again. Holy crap, this is blowing my mind. Like, as a technology person, this is my favorite story of the week, hands down. It's not even really news. It's just some cool piece of history, basically. So there you go. Let's go ahead and wrap this up with dad joke of the day, which, let's see. I got to go ahead and get rid of this here. And there you are. Okay, so dad joke of the day is what we typically do at the end of our shows here, our live shows. Let's see. Here we are. So, all right, here we are. My friend claims he glued himself to his autobiography. I don't believe him, but that's his story, and he's sticking to it. So there's your dad joke of the day, and apparently... Uh-oh. Lost sounds. That's weird. Hang on 1 second. Oh, I know what happened. Hang on. Okay, control hit it again. Did we get it? Nope. Oh well, I guess we don't have a sound effect for that last one. I was expecting a trombone sort of thing, but oh well. Womp, 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 womp. But anyway, fair enough. But yeah, so that's your dad joke of the day. And that basically brings this particular episode of Weekend Showcase to a somewhat of a conclusion. Please drop a comment down below to continue the convo. Feel free to visit us at Weekend Showcase on all major social media platforms or Linktree/Weekend Showcase, like in the description and in this crawl, to see it all in one place. And by the way, quick last thought. Thousands of you guys really loved our Blue's Big City Adventure trailer reaction. And we've recorded a full-length audio reaction commentary for you to listen to along with that film, but we are still working on the thumbnail. So after tonight's show, make sure you've subscribed to our podcast feeds wherever you get them. Links are available on our Linktree. And those of you with Paramount Plus, see it first. Blue's Big City Adventure, see that there first, and then watch along with us with the podcast. Please note that that podcast has heavy spoilers and has no foul language, but is not intended for children. That is a millennial nostalgia trip, folks. Listen responsibly. So, that is a wrap. Kaiko says, Huntsman Spider was my fave. Yeah, I bet it was, Kaiko. I bet it was. All right. That is a wrap, everyone, for 2022 on Weekend Showcase. Please, at least as far as our live pre-arranged, you know, researched content anyway, everyone, please have a happy and safe holiday season. We will see you in one form or another very soon, and possibly even over Thanksgiving weekend, and with more awesome content and surprises further on in early 2023. I hope to see you then. My name is Don, and for now, this brings your week to an end. Thanks for watching. Showcase you later. Good night.